Welcome to Sister Speak True Blood, where we discuss season 6 of the HBO series True Blood from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 53. Let's get started.
Okay.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. We are here to talk about Sister Speak, about Big Brother. See, I'm all lost.
Oh, see, this is going to be
it's going to be difficult.
Okay.
I got too many in my mind.
Anyway.
We're talking about True Blood. Sorry, y'all.
True Blood. Okay.
Episode 2, titled The Son.
Okay, before we do that, though, we're going to have a new segment on our Sister Speak True Blood podcast. Brought to you by MK and MK's Drinking Game.
Oh, goodness.
So at the beginning of every podcast, then I'm going to tell y'all what adult beverage I am having while I'm watching True Blood. Or, you know, I'll review some wines for y'all.
Okay.
This week, drinking a red wine called Red Vin, V-I-N. It's a sweet red German wine. It is from Rheinhessen, Germany. It's really good. Is that Rheinhessen, I think?
Yeah, probably.
Germany. It's called Red Vin. So check it out. It's really good.
That's what you drink while watching True Blood, or what you're drinking now?
Yep. Oh, yeah, while I'm watching True Blood. Okay. What I'm drinking now is just an adult beverage. It's it's a bottle of beer called Shiner Bohemian Black Lager, of course. Black Lager. Okay.
All right, let's start. Okay, so are we done with our drinking game?
Yeah, so every time we say first of all, or every time we say Sookie too.
Oh, Lord, they're going to be drunk if we do Sookie's name.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, Sister J.
What are we going to start with first of all? Take a swig.
Take a swig, y'all. I guess we could start with, you know, True Blood jumps around so much, but I think we can kind of group together people.
Okay. Sure.
Characters?
Sure.
We could do Jason, Warlow, Sookie, all that into one, maybe.
Okay.
And start with there.
Okay, go ahead and start.
So we start out with the show with seeing Warlow entering on the bridge, entering our world or this world or whatever. And then we
He's nasty looking, too.
I know. That beard and chip.
He's nasty looking. But I think it's appropriate that he entered our realm in the spot where
he got blasted out.
He got blasted out, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so then we see the words on that little letter kind of glowing and shit. So
I know.
On Sookie's bedside table.
Otherwise, she would have had some warning had she been awake.
And then the funny, I like the scenes with Jason and the grandpa fairy we find out.
His name is Niall.
Niall. And
I love Rutger Hauer.
I do too.
I like him in this role.
And I am so glad that someone acknowledged the fact that Jason was running off at the MF and mouth.
I know.
For somebody he didn't fucking know. And I love that. I was cracking up.
He says, you know, that was a test. But I was cracking up when Jason said, oh, well, then you know I'm no good at tests.
If you know me so well, you know I hate tests.
Tests? Jason is so clueless sometimes.
It was cute.
He's cute, though.
But I like those scenes because his granddaddy's like, look, I've been watching you, and I was trying to see what you would do. And here I find you on the side of the road in the middle of the night, all jacked up, telling a stranger all y'all family business.
Now, he got a point, though.
Okay, hello.
He's got a point.
That's what we were talking about last time.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to be talking to somebody he don't know.
But Jason's just like that. I mean, he's just so
trusting.
What I was going to say, open.
Yeah.
He's just an open person, you know, and think back to the very first season when Renee was killing up all them women and stuff, but Jason was so open with it. Well, yeah, I was with her, but I mean, I didn't kill her. I mean, you know, he was just, he doesn't know like to hide and sneak and all that kind of stuff like other people do.
Right.
See, so I like Jason, too. But, yeah, you're right. Those scenes between him and Niall, they are really, really good.
Yeah, I liked them.
And then when he says, okay, look, I can help catch Warlow. And he said, well, I don't know. That remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they get to Sookie's house, and Jason goes in and he's yelling, Sookie, Sookie. And the granddaddy's trying to tell him,
shut up.
Be quiet.
Yeah.
I'm trying to sneak up on him. You know.
That was cute.
But then when they went up the stairs, he says, okay, where's the portal where Sookie saw Warlow? And he says, in the upstairs bathroom. So when they are going up the stairs, I was laughing my butt off because here the grandpa's sneaking up the stairs. Here's Jason with that big old gun, like walking up the stairs. I'm thinking, what you gonna do?
Right, because
you can't kill no little Warlow with a gun.
Well, I mean,
I doubt it.
He's probably got silver bullets in there, but
still,
like the granddad said, he's fast. He's thousands of years old.
Thousands of years
he's
old.
Fast. Mm-hmm. So we have to do this, special.
Now what'd you think about that scene where the granddaddy went into the realm, then when Jason went to
was cute.
So he thought he was going to jump in there like he did that fairy, that little fairy kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, out in the woods.
Out in the woods.
Yeah. And it just, I was laughing.
That was a funny scene. And I always like those scenes because it gives you a little bit of comic relief with Jason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what also was funny, we'll get to that, another scene that I really liked in a second with them.
Right.
But then,
Niall comes out.
Yeah, Niall jumps out of the realm. He's all nasty and wet.
He's wet.
Just like Warlow was when he came out. And I was thinking, this is what I thought about that scene.
Mm-hmm.
You mean to tell me they had old-ass Rutger Hauer falling all down on the floor?
Yeah, he was. He fell right on Jason.
Stunt double or something.
Well, he might have. But the thing that got me about that scene is I'm thinking, ooh. And he did explain that Claudine had zapped him into this this real yucky world where he was, locked up.
Mm-hmm.
And going to be like a prisoner type. But when he came back all wet and nasty, I thought, ooh. So then.
Okay, so before we get to them eating dinner and stuff,
mm-hmm.
then we need to go to Sookie.
Oh, God.
Now, just for a quick minute, she wakes up because Arlene calls her from her lot saying, hey.
Arlene is too funny
you
in
are
this
late
episode.
For your shift. I love Arlene.
Love Arlene.
When Sookie's like,
they have stepped her up, though.
She's always been feisty.
In the last two episodes, though, she's had some great lines.
Really rough night, Arlene. And Arlene's like, that is not my GD problem. It was so funny. Of course, I thought of you when she said that.
Oh, hey, I know you was going to say that. But
anyway, so that was cute. So Sookie, gets up and is ready to go to work. So she's walking to work because obviously her car hasn't been replaced, fixed, or whatever because we're only like a day or two away.
Exactly. Because remember, she crashed it with those Toonses background. With the Toonses background.
Toonses the cat from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, going 80 miles an hour and she ain't got a scratch or a hair out of place. Yeah, okay, we won't go through that again.
She was pregnant at the time, so.
Anyway, they could at least messed up her hair or something.
Anywho.
So she's walking.
She's walking.
Now this is what I got to say about that scene. First of all, before she even encounters anyone. This chick, it's summertime, obviously. She got on a long-ass, looked like jean jacket with some shorts. That thing is some country dressing.
Well, they all wear that to Merlot's. Arlene had on the shorts, too. But my thought is, look, obviously this is not filmed in Louisiana in the summer.
That's true.
Because, first of all, her ass would be sweating.
Sweating like a pig.
Like a pig.
Dang.
There'd be bugs out.
But I noticed that right away. I thought, why'd she got this long sleeve jacket on?
You're not supposed to look that close.
I know, but anyway, okay.
So anyway, so she come up on somebody moaning and groaning on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And this part was funny when she said, oh, not today.
She said, not today. I'm late for work.
Not today. And then when she kept hearing the guy moaning and groaning, she's like, oh, hell.
No, she said, oh, dang it.
Gosh, dang it.
Uh-huh.
And so she went to help.
Oh, Lord, that was so, ooh. This scene irritated me.
Why?
Because it was so irritating because, first of all, her ass was already late for work. She'd have told Arlene, hey, I'm coming. Second of all she had to do was call the boy an ambulance or something. Even though he said, well, no, I'm... But I can understand her her thought, I guess, because when she realized he was a fairy too, like her.
Yeah. Now, my only thing was, after all the shit you done been through.
Exactly.
You gonna help some fool that's in the ditch in the side of the road who's hurt.
And take him back to your house.
Now, what, you know, I think she would have helped him, yes, once she read his thoughts and said,
I think
was
so too,
he crazy?
But she wouldn't have taken him up to her house.
Well, I can see that, especially after she realized that he was a fairy. You know? Because I guess she figured, well, I could maybe trust a fairy, but we already know there's some ugly-ass fairies out there.
Yeah.
So anyway, she takes him to the house and finds out that he was
attacked by
a vampire because of his blood.
Because they smelled his blood.
And she asks him how he got away, and he said his light.
Mm-hmm. That was cute.
Yeah.
But when she was still out in the woods and she says, what are you? He says, a halfling. And she says, me too. Mm-hmm. And I thought about that a minute. I thought, yeah, that is true. Because they're not full blood. Or she's not full blood. Because we talked about that last time.
Yeah, but see, I had been asking the question, like, okay, where you come from? Who your mama is? Who your people are? Because, look, I've been jacked with too many people around here. There's too much shit going on in Bon Temps.
Exactly.
And I need to know what you doing out wandering.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
To me, I would have thought she would have asked that question or asked something like,
well, this is my overall whole thing. Okay, and especially given the fact that last episode we were introduced to the governor and all of his little shit shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wouldn't it occur to Sookie at some point that at some point they're going to add other beings in their little quest to rid Louisiana of all these vampires and stuff?
What they got to do with that?
Well, she's a fairy.
Oh, but I don't know about that yet.
Some of them do.
But
the governor don't, yeah.
No.
And his people, okay.
Well, my thought was, she could tell. He said my life. He said half, you know, he said the right shit to make her realize he was a fairy.
Yeah.
You know, she could read his mind and he could read hers. So, you know, that to me is believable. My only thought is, okay, he's a fairy, we get it, but why the hell is he in the middle of nowhere? Where is he coming from? Where is he wandering to? You know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then when they do get to the house, he passes out, she patches him up, and you know, he's thanking her for all the kindness she's given him,
right,
and stuff. Okay, so they get on the road because she tells him about this fairy hideout.
Well, he says, look, I've you know, imposed on you enough, and I'll be on my way. And she was saying, well, but, you know, you already done got attacked and stuff. I know a safe place for fairies. And so she's leading him to that
right
place.
But, okay, so when they are walking and he says,
this conversation had me irritated.
Yeah, it did me too. I was with it, though, until then. Except for the fact that he's just a stranger out from the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But he's going to say, well, can I take you out?
Yeah.
Okay, listen. Can I take you out sometime to repay you for your kindness? Okay, now look. If your ass is on the side of the road wandering, walking, how are you going to take my ass out anywhere?
What resources do you have?
Okay, CJ. Okay, now look.
I'm not trying
That's a good point. Okay, I don't see you with no job. You ain't got no car. How are you going to take my ass out?
Yeah.
I got the nerve to say, can I take you out?
And then he read her thought about, well, you know, I just got over Bill.
Well,
who's,
you know what,
Bill?
Now, I did laugh at that line when she said, well, you know, I'm not ready to get into anything romantic right now, if that's what you had in mind. And I was thinking, yeah, damn, shit.
I mean, know.
It's just been a day or a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he read her mind about Bill, I was like, ugh.
Oh, I'm through with that. And then she says, well, just go to Thibodeau Park. It's about 2 miles down, and that's where the fairies are. I got to get to work. And so she turns around and goes on.
But she didn't go to work. She went home.
No.
At least that's what we think.
I don't know.
Because we really didn't see her till the nighttime. So she might have went on to work.
So she might have went on to work.
Yeah.
We just didn't see it. But then, you know.
But why didn't she ask the question? Okay, where are you? I don't know. I just feel like she should have asked more.
Especially given all that she has witnessed and seen, you would think she would be a lot more cautious.
Cautious.
Than, and I don't care if he is a fairy, but a lot more cautious.
Yep. About all who she lets in the house.
Yeah. And knowing this Warlow character's out there.
Yep.
You know? Well, I mean...
I think she feels protected in the daytime.
I guess so. But I guess so. Anyway. Anywho. So by the evening time, she goes home, and there's Jason, and he introduces her, of course, to the granddaddy, Niall, and he's telling her, he's telling him, Warlow is the oldest vampire
that I know. Still walking.
And he is the first of his little fae generation, and he's the king of the fae.
Of his tribe, he said.
Of his tribe. And so Jason had me down to about, hey, then that makes you a fairy princess and me a fairy prince. And then when the granddaddy looked at him and said,
It skipped you. The gene skipped you.
Yeah, I felt bad for Jason. Couldn't they give him something? Dang. No, no. Poor little Jason. But that granddaddy had me cracking up when he first met Sookie and she wanted to talk and everything and find out stuff. And he says, I'm hungry. You got something to eat? You see that big old platter of spaghetti? That was looking good, too.
It did look good.
That was looking good.
They didn't eat none of it.
Well, yeah.
What cracked me up too on this scene that I liked was when the grandpa was talking about Warlow and he says, "Well, Warlow's here."
Yeah.
And Jason jumps up and says, "Well, shit, then why
are we eating spaghetti?
Let's go give us that."
I know. Jason is too bad.
That's funny.
He's so funny.
So then we find out they have a special power in their family, that secret, that they can generate their light and create this supernova thing
that's brighter than the sun,
that is better than the sun, that will go nuclear and kill any vampire it touches. But when she, if she uses it, since she's half fairy or part fairy, that's the last fairy thing she gonna do. She'll be human.
She'll be fairy no more. Yeah, she'll be fae no more. That's what he said. So he's showing her how to, you know, manifest this, you know, to practice it and stuff. And, you know, that whole scene was for the foreshadowing for the finale.
I'm sure.
Yeah. You know?
Where?
Yeah.
We already can predict. She's going to throw her ball of light. Of course, the vampires that she loves are going to be close. So she's going to say, get away.
Yeah.
And then all the noise in her head is going to quiet down.
Yeah.
We'll fade to black, and that'll be the end of the series.
Mm-hmm.
That's my little prediction. Well, but anyway.
Sounds good to me.
So, I did like it, though, when he was showing her how to do it. And he was saying, now put all your love and all your fear and your anger and everything into that.
Right.
Which I kind of like that.
I like the scene, when, we'll get to it later, but during Jessica's prayer scene where it's showing them the different people that she cares about, you know, and it's showing them. I like that. And so he's practicing. We'll go, all right.
That's really all that we see of Sookie and them, except for that scene you're talking about.
Yeah, and that was just in passing. Mm-hmm. You know, we already know she's practicing.
I liked it. You know, it wasn't too much Sookie, and it wasn't enough. You know, it was just right.
Yeah, it was okay, but
I mean, the only thing that got me about the scenes, I was fine with all the scenes with Jason and the grandfather and her and the grandfather and Jason, but the only thing that got me was the Ben.
More new characters. It's just, I mean, they got enough. Damn, we don't see nothing of Lala.
Well,
I mean, you know, that's really irritating me.
You want to get on to Lala and Sam and Merlot?
It's really irritating me. Really irritating.
So our next new character that we see at Merlot's is Patrick's wife.
Yeah.
Who randomly is coming to find Terry to ask, where's Patrick? And, of course, Terry, you know, he can't really lie well. And so Arlene's telling him, you got to lie.
Arlene had me
for
dying.
Me and the kids and everybody.
Said, you got to go talk to her. He said, I can't talk to her. She said, you got to.
So while he's humming and hemming and hawing and shit about to say something.
She said, he left me for another woman, didn't he? Well, He's not here, is he? No, he's not here. Did he run off with another woman? And so Arlene has to come up and say, hi, I'm Arlene Terry's wife. And yeah, he did. And you know how these men, you know, stick up for one another and stuff. That was slick, though.
That was slick.
Arlene was so slick with it.
Yep.
Oh, she had me dying. But her best line, to me...
Life is really a shit sandwich sometimes.
When she says, yeah, I know, life is really a shit sandwich sometimes. That's the best line in the whole show. That she had the best line in the whole show to me. Arlene is too much. I am liking her.
The best line is coming up, in my opinion. But, okay, so then... We get a new group of people coming into the bar.
Oh, when they come in, Arlene says, hey, where y'all from? One says Brooklyn. New York, one says California, one says Connecticut or something. And Arlene says, oh, an international crowd. Oh, I was dying laughing. Because you know what? She's too ignorant. Because, I mean, that's not even another country.
I know.
She's talking about, oh, an international crowd. Oh, she had me dying. I was cracking up.
But we meet Nicole Wright, which is Journey Smollett Bell.
Yep.
With her little cute self.
She is so cute.
And she wants to talk to Sam. Like, she really hones in on Sam when he comes into the room, talking to Lala on the phone, which is cute that they cut away to Lala and Emma playing dress-up.
I know it. That was adorable.
He say, hi, tell Sam how you doing, Shorty Pop. She's like, hi, Sam.
Yeah. That was so cute.
That was really cute.
And she was just having so much fun, you know. And he talking about, hey, when you get home, bring some food. Your cupboards are bare. Well, damn, Sam ain't been home in a while. Think about it. He'd been at the authority and stuff and everything. So, yeah, they probably...
I'm like, Lala, you need to go to the store. I mean, you can't be waiting for him.
But that was really cute.
That was cute.
I really did like
that. So this girl, Nicole, starts talking to Sam in the bar about being a shifter, and she knows all about him and
Emma and
what's her name,
Luna turning into Reverend Newland,
and all that. And so Sam's like, you know, keep your voice down, come, you know, go in the back. So they go in the back, and she basically is telling him she wants him to join her group, which is the VUS, the Vampire Unity Society, because I guess her group is wanting to spearhead this coalition of vampire shifters, supernatural people, and humans.
I think she's a shifter.
She's something.
That's what I think. I think she's a shifter, and she uses this, just like Sam uses the bar, as her cover. You know what I mean? For people that don't know that.
I don't know.
I think she's a shifter.
But she's got to be something, because if she's just human, to me, it wouldn't make... I don't know. It just would be weird if she was just a human. So I'm hoping that she's something. Go ahead, Miss Jay.
As an old school person.
Oh, you didn't like her speech about the civil rights?
This scene was irritating as shit.
Uh-oh.
Because when she started her little civil rights speech, I thought, oh, hell no. No. How self-righteous can you be? They threw that bullshit in there. You know, and I'm thinking, one ain't got nothing to do with the other.
What they were trying to say.
Oh, I know what they're trying to say. It irritated me. Irritated the shit out of me. I thought, oh, hell no, they didn't write that shit up in there.
They did.
Anyway.
They're trying to give her a reason why she goes through all this stuff.
But it was annoying to me. I thought, shit, another lazy writer.
Oh, Lord.
Bam. Anyway.
My only thing is that, to me, it was just out of the blue.
It's so contrived.
It's kind of, like, off the wall. I'm like, why all this? I mean.
Because they want to introduce this new character.
Right.
And just like with the Ben guy. They got enough people. Just because Luna dead don't mean you got to introduce another.
Well, I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
I mean, it was just, it was irritating to me.
It didn't irritate me, but I did question. I'm like, this isn't, I mean, they made it too fast. They made it too abrupt. And it was just didn't, to me, gel into the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway.
Okay.
So later on that evening, Sam gets home and Lala is sitting on the couch watching Chopped, honey.
I said, ooh, they about to get chopped.
This cook about to get chopped. It is fun to watch. Chopped is fun to watch.
And he's Lafayette, yeah. They haven't shown him and Sam actually talking about anything yet because, you know, he had to take care of, he didn't have to, but he volunteered to take care of Emma and stuff and everything. But so Lafayette's trying to ask him, okay, look, what kind of trouble you got yourself in? Yeah. You know, what's going on? Then here comes.
Oh, this pissed me off.
Your favorite person. No. I do. Wait, I said, ooh, Sister K gonna have a field day with this shit.
Pissed me the frack off.
Okay, take it away, Sister K.
Here comes, and on many levels, not just from that person.
I know. I was irritated too.
I was so pissed at this scene. I was like, okay, this is not like, didn't we talk about this last week? Mm-hmm. It's not like anything. These characters, anyway.
Okay, get to it.
A car pulls up. Sam goes outside.
A big old truck.
It's all Seed, Martha,
and Danielle.
His side piece.
Danielle.
Is that her name?
Danielle.
Because I never even knew the name.
It's Danielle.
Danielle. Because I knew it wasn't Ricky. And
that's his number two.
Like I said, his side piece. Yeah. And Martha is running up to Sam. Oh my God, I just heard about Luna. We just saw about Luna on the news. And mm-hmm. a whole day later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
After she was so busy taking care of fucking Ricky, drug addicted Ricky's ass. Okay. But anyway. I just saw about Luna. How's Emma? Where's Emma? He's like, oh, she's fine. She's asleep. Can I see her? No, she's asleep. Let her sleep. You know, y'all go on. Luna didn't make it. She's like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry to hear that. Mm-hmm. But she's still trying to get up after Emma.
Mm-hmm.
All she's talking about, well, you know, Emma is a wolf, so she needs to be with her grandmama. And Sam's like, no, that ain't going to be how it goes. Well, actually, what all she says is that, you know, everyone's going to be looking for you, looking for Luna
exactly.
and Emma now, to, you know, the government, so, you know, you need to get her somewhere safe, which that one single teeny tiny point was true.
That was true.
Sam said, well, she can shift, we can hide, we can run, we can mm-hmm. do whatever. So, Sam says, well, she belongs with Martha. That's her grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And Martha says, well, she's a wolf. He's like, well, you know Luna hated wolves. Mm-hmm. Or wares, I think is what she said. And so, they said, so you're going to make her hate her own kind? Which, that's also a point that I'll give
that's
them that
point, that's what
that
Danielle girl said.
Yeah.
And Alcide quieted her down. He told her, hush.
Yeah.
She
didn't even be fucking talking anyway.
Absolutely. You just got there. You don't know nothing about none of these people. What the hell are you talking for?
So to me, the best line was when Lafayette came out and said, y'all need to take y'all mangy ass business on. Mind y'all's mangy ass business and move on.
Emma
don't want to go with y'all. She wants to stay with Sam.
I like the part where Sam says, well, why is she going to be with you when you let Russell Edgington get to her?
He said, I'm not going to let her go with you. The last time we left her with the pack, you let Russell Edgington get to her.
Get her.
And then
Martha.
Fucking Martha.
She said, well, I know it was my fault that Russell got to her.
I'm sorry that my mistake cost me her life.
Shit. Anyway.
Shut the fuck up, Martha.
But now.
Oh, this pissed me the fuck off.
This pissed me off.
So then, of course.
Here come little Emma.
Emma come running out.
Calling Sam.
Right, exactly.
She wants Sam.
Martha goes to get her. Alcide pushes Sam or vice versa, whatever.
No, Alcide pushed Sam. Sam punched Alcide. Alcide knocked him out.
Because Alcide's fucking big.
Well, he was turning into a wolf. You see his eyes.
Right, and he probably still had V in him, too.
Yeah.
And then the side chick.
Danielle.
Bum rushes Lafayette.
And is beating him.
Beating the
fuck out. Oh, hell no. That bitch got to go.
Yeah.
She need a stake, bullet, something.
A bullet.
Crossbow. Where's Joffrey when you need him?
Okay. The one time we need crazy-ass Joffrey.
Joffrey. Damn. But that bitch got to go. And she's beating him.
They both get beat up. Now, this is my thing, too, about this scene. I'm like, okay, why the fuck, excuse my y'all,
They know you cuss.
Nicole, whatever her name is, Journey Smith, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
Nicole, in the bushes.
Her and her troops in the bushes taking pictures. They're taking pictures.
This is good.
This is great. This is good. Mm-hmm. Now, I went back and looked at that scene two or three times because this is what I thought I saw. What I thought I saw when they flashed to Nicole and her group hiding in the bushes, right, that black boy's eyes
glowing,
glowed like
I
the wolves.
See that.
And that's what it looked like to me. So if somebody else knows, you know, send us an email because that's what it kind of looked like to me. But then I thought, well, wait a minute, maybe that's just either a flash of the camera or a flash of their headlight or something. But it looked like to me, but it was the black guy with them.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, that's what it looked like to
me. I saw him looking at her and they looking at each other like, ooh, this is great, while she's taking pictures.
Yeah.
So I would think, though, that if they were shifters or something, they might have changed that point.
I don't think so.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't think so.
So they get
because for the main reason we pointed out, they don't know these people. They don't know shit. They just got there.
True.
Just like that Danielle chick. She just got there. The bitch need to be gone.
She needs to shut the F up.
Yeah. She don't even need to be talking. And definitely don't need to be hitting nobody.
Thank you. Hello.
Hey, Lafayette need to take shotgun.
Oh, he gonna be pissed. Because, you know, Lafayette can fight, but, you know.
Yeah.
They caught them all, both off guard, I think.
Exactly.
So, anywho, I was just too through with that scene.
And
I
they said, done you know thrown the baby in the truck and drove on.
Throw the baby in the truck. I am divorcing all scenes. Well, I never was married to his mangy ass anyway.
Oh, now he mangy, huh?
But woo! I am through with all seeds as I've been through with Martha's ass. Y'all go back and listen to last season.
I know.
And
but that made me mad too.
And pissed at the side chick.
Yeah, that made me mad. That
the whole scene.
She's got to have she's got to have some karma with that shit.
Yeah,
beating on Lafayette.
No.
Oh hell no. Hell no.
So
she got to pay for that.
I'm guessing that, you know, thank goodness, I guess, that those people are in the bushes because they can call help real quick, you know, if they need help or help them get in the house. I don't know.
They don't know they're in the bushes.
But they'll come out because they don't left.
You think,
probably.
You think they'll come out? I don't think so.
I think so. Hey, we was coming to talk to you and we noticed you laying out on the ground.
Yeah, that's all they had to say.
That's all I got to say.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah, that was...
That was upsetting.
That was upsetting to me. I was cussing at the TV.
I was too.
You motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Martha and fucking all three.
Okay, let's talk about my girls, Pam and Tara.
You know what? Yeah.
Oh, man. I felt bad for Tara, though.
No, I just wanted the screaming to end. I was like, okay, I can't handle that.
Oh, hey.
Hollering.
You'd be hollering, too.
I'd have been hollering, but oof. After the second holler or two, I was like, okay. Somebody shut her up.
Hey, she was hollering, and Pam couldn't do anything. So Eric and Nora come into the Fantasia, and, of course, Tara's laying on the bar hollering and stuff, and he what happened to her? Well, the governor and his goons came and, you know, they shot her. That's what Pam's saying.
The governor's goons.
So Eric is digging in her wound. And Pam must have gave him a look because Eric
she said, what are you doing?
Yeah. And he says,
I'm getting the bullet out.
I'm helping her, Pam.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the bullet out.
And so, but because it's UV lights in the bullet,
it was burning
his hand.
Yeah, it burned him. So he had to get he broke up a glass, a beer bottle.
A beer bottle and dug it out.
So we got more hollering.
Oh, that was awful, though. But did you notice as soon as he lifted it up, she started healing.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, but it's a silver bullet with UV light inside.
Yeah.
So they burn from the inside out.
Yep. Which actually is kind
of
smart.
Now, that's one of the weapons that the general, remember?
Yeah, so that's what Nora says. General Kavanaugh, he said they have been studying that, or they had been working on these different weapons. So this must be one of them.
And
so Eric's
I liked it when Tara said, what general? And Eric said, the one I killed. Oh, dead general.
Tara says, dead general.
Oh, dead general. That whole little exchange was cute, though. I like that.
Well, then Nora says the humans are fighting back. And so Pam's upset. She's
getting mad.
She's like, look.
She mad at Nora anyway.
There's more of them than us. What are we going to do? I'm pissed at the effing authority because they're the ones who took away the true blood. If we had true blood, we wouldn't be going through all this shit. And Nora starts arguing with Pam, back saying, oh, I'm sorry, your little bar got taken. And this and that. And the other.
But we got to go and kill a godlike creature, you know.
Eric basically is like, okay, cut the shit. All y'all, I don't want to hear no more shit. He says, Nora, you go back to the Bible, the vampire Bible, and you go through it again and try to figure out what we're dealing with Bill. And she says,
I've done that already.
He's like, well, do it again.
Oh, when he yelled at her.
He looked good, though.
He was good. And she didn't say diddly squat.
She sure didn't.
And then, did you notice? It was as his back was to her and he was almost out. Then she said, well, what you gonna do? And you noticed he didn't answer her. That's why she said, asshole. But wait, she didn't say that shit while he was still looking at her, did he? Yeah, yeah, little punk. She gonna wait till his back is to her. She know what time it is. Yeah, Nora might be formidable, but hey, Eric is the, he's the man.
That was funny.
Ooh, Eric looked good in this whole thing.
He did look good.
He looked really good in this whole episode.
So Eric goes, let's finish Fantasia. So Nora's reading the Vampire Bible, and she reads this little passage.
A little later.
And realizes that they've mistranslated a part of it, and that it's saying Lilith was led to this by the people.
By the people.
And so then Pam comes in, I guess it's after they've woken up, and she's like, oh, have you been up all night to Nora? And Nora's like, yes, I have. And she's like, your human brought some blood. And so it's there on the counter. So Pam's drinking it, and she's all pissy. And Nora says, well, tell Eric I'll be back. And Pam's like, well, you tell him yourself, because he told me to fuck off, and I'm going to go fuck off, you know.
I know. She's just belligerent.
She kind of whining, though, because she's hurt, you know.
Well, she's mad at Nora, because she's jealous of Nora.
Right. And so Nora's like, look, he didn't tell you about me because that would have been dangerous for you.
For you.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he talked about you all the time and fondly. So he does care about you. And you can
see, said he loves you.
Yeah. And so Pam has her back to her and it's kind of.
You can see that it changed her, though.
Yeah.
Knowing that. And that's the only reason Nora even said it.
Because Nora knew.
She knew.
She knew.
And then she says, okay, I'll be back. And she gone.
She gone.
So we don't see her anymore in this episode, though.
No, we don't. And so then Pam, or excuse me, we go back to seeing Eric walking up on, or looking at the governor's mansion, actually.
Well, he's actually in the bushes.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Waiting.
Trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to get in there to that governor? And here comes this nerdy looking journalist who is talking on his cell phone, telling somebody, his daughter or somebody, that
he finally got the meeting with the governor.
He finally got a meeting with the governor and stuff, and no, he...
It wasn't a journalist. He was supposed to be the head of this condor...
Wildlife society thing.
Yeah.
And he had his little press pass and everything, so next thing you know, we're inside the governor's mansion, and the governor's talking all this bullshit to somebody on the phone, and his daughter, Willa, she's really cute, too.
Is that her name, Willa?
Willa. Comes in and says, you know, Dad, some of the campaign people, they're going out for drinks later. Can I go? He said, no, because, you know, it's much too dangerous for you. She says, well, yeah, but I can have all the guards and everything. You'll come with me. He said, no. And she looks pissed, too.
She do.
So she says, your 5:30's here. And then he says, okay, show him in. So she goes out to get his next appointment. She says, sir, whatever his name's supposed to be, you know, the governor will see you now. And Eric has his hair combed forward like in little bangs. Got these round little glasses on.
He looked cute.
He looked cute, but he looked like a little nerd or a tall nerd.
And as tall as he is always slouching.
Well, he slouched then, but he's not slouching in every scene, though.
Most of them.
But, I mean, he looks so cute. So him and the governor have this little talk.
A battle of wills.
Yeah, a little battle going, you know.
And about the stupid ass bird.
Yeah. And when Eric finally tries to glamour him,
yeah,
I thought he was actually doing it.
I did too.
And that governor, wasn't that a kick?
I was like, what the?
What the hell? But I liked it though.
I did too.
I liked it though.
I did too because they do that shit too often.
Often.
Yeah.
And that governor. Oh, but that governor was taunting him, though. He right. was just taunting
he was,
him.
He was cracking up.
He was gleeful.
He's like, I'm sorry, but I just couldn't wait to try these out on y'all fools.
Uh-huh. They done developed some contact lenses.
Contacts with UV rays, I think you said, so and that it blocks the glamour.
It blocks the glamour
process.
He says, and what do y'all call it? Glamouring. And he's just laughing. He's just laughing and laughing. So the guards are in there.
But then, this is the next good line. When he says, we've been working on this for years. He's like, it's time for humans to bite back.
Yeah, he did. He goes, like he don't have no little teeth to drop down, though.
Now, this is
that was funny.
I think this should be our next tagline.
What?
It's time for humans to bite back.
Okay. You want that?
I think so. So everybody, you know how in Game of Thrones we had our voicemail people
saying, hey, I'm walking a freaking dragon here.
So let's let this be our True Blood tagline. It's time for humans to bite back. Unless y'all can think of a better one, but I like that. So you can send us that in a voicemail, and we'll put that on the beginning of our podcast.
Yeah, and that's for everyone.
For our intro.
Yeah.
Yeah, for everyone.
Everyone. Just, yeah.
I would love that.
Send us that. That'd be good.
Just say, you know, hey, this is Sister K, and it's time for humans to bite back.
Yeah, so say, hey, you know, whatever your name is, like, you know, your first name, and... That'd be cute.
That'd be cute. I would love that.
Okay.
At the beginning of our podcast.
And Sister K will splice it all together.
We'll splice it and we'll play it the whole season.
Yeah. That'd be good.
I was thinking about having us have a little contest to figure out what we would say, but this line to me was perfect.
That's a good one.
And it was funny when he goes,
That was funny. So they cart Eric off, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, don't get in that van, Eric. Well,
What I'm thinking is, how come they don't have his ass tied up? Because Eric is fast. You mean to tell me you think you're going to be able to get him if he tries to fight you?
Well, but they got them bullets and stuff.
Wow.
You know, but I didn't think anything about that part.
I did,
part.
Too. I did.
Yeah, I didn't think anything about that part because there were so many of them. There was like 8 of them or something surrounding him.
I was right to think that because guess what happened?
He flew.
They tried to get him in the van.
But he went up.
He takes off flying. And one of the guards goes, they can fly?
They can fly? That was funny.
So that's the one thing I didn't know.
See, they did not know that he could fly.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was a good thing. But I was sitting there thinking, okay, Eric, you're going to have to make your move. Don't get in that van.
Oh, no, he wasn't trying to get in
that
van.
But when he flew off, I was hooping and hollering.
That was good.
That was really good.
Now, this scene, I did not see coming.
What?
The last scene.
Eric was too fine. I said, ooh, I played that back 3, 4, 5 times. Woo-hoo-hoo! He could float outside my window any day.
And who put that on our Facebook page?
We'll have to look it up
when we get to our feedback.
We'll look it up when we get to our feedback. But, oh, man, he looks so good.
So, basically, we see the governor's daughter, Willa.
Willa,
taking out her contacts.
Yep.
And you know he was looking to see if she took them out.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, her window's open, curtains open, window open,
and the curtain's blowing in the breeze.
So, there you go.
So, she goes to the window.
And there's
to
Eric
close it,
floating.
But there's Eric floating.
And he glamours her through the window.
He sure knew.
You want to invite me in, don't you?
She said, oh, yes, do come in.
Hey, he wouldn't have to glamour me.
Hey. Mm-mm. I would have went to the window and said, oh, hey, yay, come on. I would have pushed that window open even further.
Come on in, baby.
That was good scene, though.
That was a good scene.
Good. He looked really good.
Yep.
All right.
Okay, so now the last set of folks is Jessica and Bill.
Yeah, I felt really bad for Jessica. In this whole episode, I just felt really bad.
This set of scenes was really...
It was weird.
Disturbing.
First of all, okay. Did we need to see these three bloody naked women?
No.
With their little bloody merkins, which we had been told what that is.
Finally figured out what the hell that
is. Yeah,
well,
somebody finally posted what it was. I mean, come on now. And that black chick, she was switching. I mean, she was swaying in the breeze. When the little says, that'll be all, ladies, and they turn around to walk away, she is switching.
What do you mean switching? Her walk?
Yeah, her walk.
Well, look, that was their 2 minutes of fame.
That's their 2 minutes.
And they have to get in as much as they can to try to get hired for something else.
I guess so.
Hopefully not naked.
Okay, so this is my thing. I don't get it. I don't get why these three different bloody whatever entered him just to take him there. Why couldn't she just summon him there? I didn't get it.
I don't know.
I didn't get it.
I don't know why there were three different ones. I thought they were all the Liliths. I couldn't tell if there were three different ones until this episode. But on last week's episode.
Exactly.
I didn't realize that it was three different people. Exactly. I thought it was all Lilith. Anywho, he ends up, before that happens, though, he is hollering. Jessica runs downstairs to figure out what's going on. And he's hollering because he's feeling someone getting whipped.
Mm-hmm.
He's feeling all this stuff happen to other vampires. He sees
somebody get pulled by a chain.
Getting pulled by a truck and someone getting burned.
Yep.
And so he's like just crying out and he's telling Jessica all this stuff. And then all of a sudden he just ends up in this catatonic state where he's just sitting there frozen, eyes open.
Yeah.
So that's freaky. So Jessica's crying and hollering, like, I don't know what's going on, Bill. Talk to me, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't talk. So then in his mind, he goes and he gets ushered to Lilith. And she basically tells him that he asks, am I a god or are you God?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, no, God made me vampire and he made Adam and Eve human.
Mm-hmm.
And people worship me as a god, but there is only one God. Mm-hmm. Basically, I'm not it. And so she tells Bill something is coming. Events have been put into motion. A tyrant is coming, and you have to help.
We know that's Warlow.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you have to help lead us. So Bill's saying, but how? And she says, well, you need to trust yourself, trust what you see. And that's basically what she tells him.
Yeah. I didn't get it.
Throughout those scenes.
I didn't get it.
Basically, she's trying to say, look, he just got this sensation of being whipped, hurt, seeing people getting dragged and shit. She's basically saying, trust that. And you notice when, after she said that, trust that and trust yourself, that's when he woke up, the news came on, and it was actually happening what he had seen. Mm-hmm. And that's when Jessica said, you saw this happening before. You can see the future. And he says, I can see the future. Basically, Lilith was telling him exactly what they just discovered about themselves, that he could see the future.
Yeah.
So that's what that was saying.
But what I mean is, I just didn't get that whole thing. I just didn't
get
why they did all that shit. Why he was in this catatonic state, that he had to be in that kind of a catatonic state to talk to her. Why these three bloody as women had to lead him to her.
That, I don't know. I don't know about that part.
I just didn't get it. And then, why he had to kill that prostitute like he did.
Oh, no, that was disturbing.
That was way disturbing. That was beyond disturbing.
Although, when she came to the door, and she's like, edible human, or what was it?
Edible.
Human edibles.
Yeah, human edibles.
Human edibles, tasty treat.
Mm-hmm. That woman
sees Bill, she's like, okay, what's wrong with him? And I don't think I can do this.
No.
Before she can leave, he
jacks her up.
Crunch, crunch, a munch is what I said when I seen it. I was like, OMG. And when Jessica was screaming, I was screaming at the TV. What the hell is going on?
It was freaky. It was freaky.
That girl was good.
Yeah.
Playing that woman.
That was freaky, though.
That was freaky. And then all he did was open her mouth and the blood just come flowing. So he don't even have to chomp
people. No, he don't have to chomp them at all.
He making their bones crunch and shit.
And he drained her.
Yeah, she gone.
All the way.
She gone.
Mm-hmm.
The next time we see Jessica, she coming back to the house with a shovel and all dirty.
because she had to go bury that carcass.
She was dirty. Put the shovel down. Mm-hmm. Talk about Bill. I was raised on the human Bible. You gave me the vampire Bible, but I need to, and she said her prayer.
Yeah.
And I did like that scene, like you said.
Yeah.
Where she goes through, please watch out for Jason.
Watch out for my friends. And yes. Then she names them.
All the people.
And so while she's naming them, it's showing what they're doing at that moment. And when they got to Pam and Tara, that was cute because Pam shared her blood
with Tara.
Mm-hmm. That was cute.
And then they showed Sam and Lala laid out
on the ground. They still laid out on the ground. Shit.
And then when she said, "And please watch out for Hoyt."
Mm-hmm.
I like that though.
That was cute.
Wherever he is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah. Where's Maxine Fortenberry?
You know what? She's in that new series, Under the Dome.
Really?
Yes. Did you watch that?
Mm-mm.
It was good. I meant to...
Okay, let's not digress to that.
Okay. It was a good show. But anyway, she's a neighbor or somebody in that show, Under the Dome.
Well, I meant, where is she in True Blood?
Well, I'm telling you, her ass is in a different series, so she obviously ain't going to be in True Blood.
That's all you had to say.
Although, she might be in it. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Anywho, but yeah, so then when he did wake up after she said all her little prayers,
mm-hmm.
and then realized that what he had seen was actually taking place, that was a good scene when Jessica's looking at him like, "You saw that before. You were talking about that before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
You could see the future." He's like, "I could see the future." And then he sees a scene.
Yep.
It flashes to a scene with Eric, all of them, Jessica, Pam, Tara, all of them in this chamber, and the roof or something comes off the chamber. It's obviously sunlight comes in. They all burn up, and he flashes back to himself and says, "They're all going to burn."
Yep.
And then it goes to black into the episode. I was like, "Oh, sucky now."
Wow. I don't think that's going to happen. Number one, number two.
He's not going to let that happen.
But I don't know. I realize it's only two episodes in, but I'm a little disappointed.
What?
Yep.
By who? By what?
Because we don't have no Lafayette.
Oh, we get it.
None at all.
Yeah, I know.
You know? And, I mean, why introduce all these new characters? We had enough storyline going with the characters that we like and love and been there for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, there's enough there to keep developing them. Now, I don't mind the governor thing because, that is a logical step since the True Blood factories have been bombed and, vampires are being caught, like, feeding on fraternity.
On people.
Fraternity groups and all that kind of stuff. That's fine.
Right.
But, I don't know. I'm going to have to see.
I actually liked this episode. I think I liked it better than the first.
I did not.
And?
I mean, there were certain aspects I did like. I liked Eric's part. And I liked the finding out about Grandpa Nile.
Yeah.
I liked that, but.
Yeah, I'm skeptical.
I'm just unsatisfied.
I'm irritated with I'll see Martha and that shit.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like, honestly, what we have seen of Allseed,
yeah.
He would not have done that.
I don't think he'd do that.
He wouldn't have done that.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
He would have said, "Okay, y'all, let's work this out tomorrow."
No, he would have said something like, "Okay, look, I know Sam. Sam's a good person. I know.
Mm-hmm.
He can do his best, and what we can do is help."
Right.
Or something like that.
You hide him out or something.
Yeah. Shoot.
Anyway. He would not have done that. And they've already fucked up Martha's character, so I don't even care about her now. But, I mean, I don't think Allseed would have done that.
Yeah.
The second thing I didn't like about this episode, which I'm with you, but the rest of it I like, though, is the new girl, Smollett, Nicole.
I don't like how they introduced her.
Yeah, I don't get that. And so it was too abrupt and too whatever. So, but I actually enjoyed the episode. And the Sookie shit, that was just too much. I'm like, look. Another random dude on the side of the road, you wouldn't just you know, have him over to the house and all that.
And I want to know what the hell happened with Andy and the babies out there in the woods.
Yes, we didn't talk about that.
I mean, damn. Did they get into the fairy land or what?
Yeah, Andy took the babies to the to the field where the fairy hideaway is.
I mean, you know, that we didn't get none of that. Mm-mm. So I'm just I'm getting a little disappointed.
Well,
but
you know, I was entertained.
I'm still going to watch it.
Yeah, I was entertained. So
I'm still going to watch it. But
all right. Well, can we get to our feedback?
All righty.
All right. So the first thing, I guess we'll do our iTunes review. We had one.
Okay.
It is from Tito Lolo 515.
Okay.
Or TT Lolo.
Okay.
515. I am new to your podcast. I was looking for someone else who had as much love for True Blood as me. To my delight, I found two sisters. You are awesome and helped me get through my stressful day. I'm sure people think I'm crazy because I am always laughing out loud. I have followed all the previous seasons and look forward to being a part of season 6. Love this podcast. TT Lolo 515, 5 stars.
Thank you, TT Lolo, for the 5-star review. That's awesome.
Yes,
we're glad.
You.
We're glad that you follow us on our True Blood podcast too.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, and Sister Jay, I think we had some Facebook.
I got to read this whole thing.
Yes.
Oh Lord. Okay.
Or I guess you can give it to me to read.
Yeah, why don't you read it?
Okay.
Because you always complain that I read too slow.
Just hand me the, Sister Jay, good grief. You make stuff difficult. All right. So, looks like we had a message on Facebook from Danielle.
Yep.
And it is a little bit challenging, but we can read your Facebook. But if we forget, y'all just remind us because sometimes it's difficult to get to Facebook. But she says, hi, Sister Jay and Sister K. Decided to send this message in case people have not seen the episode. She was trying to be respectful and not spoil anybody.
That's true.
Love last night's episode. Love nerdy Eric.
Yes.
Bill was scary. Poor Jess. Love Sookie and Jason. Lala with Emma was cute, and Arlene and her organic line was funny.
We didn't talk about that.
I hate Martha and Alcide. Yes, Wolfman, I don't like you at the moment. You better do something to win my liking again. I'm sorry, but I do not. This is my reason, and if I have not seen the episode... Okay, so this is her... She's trying to say, if we haven't seen the episode, don't read any further, but we have.
We have.
Number one, Martha and the pack did nothing while Russell and Steve took Emma. They could have tried to stop them. They may have died, but at least they tried.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then she says, number two, Martha and the pack did nothing to help Sam and Luna get Emma out of the authority.
Absolutely.
If they cared so much about Emma, why didn't they help them? Why didn't they offer to help?
Yep.
Boop.
Boop.
Three. Martha and the pack just simply drive up and drag a crying Emma away as Sam and Lala are getting beat up by the pack bullies.
Yep.
I'm sorry, but really, Alcide, I thought you were smart. And Martha could not wait until the next morning and drive over to Sam's on her own and make sure Emma was okay.
Yeah.
That's true. Martha is not fit to be a parent, not saying Sam is either, but I don't think how the whole scene played out is going to end well. The poor kid is traumatized enough from being kidnapped, watching her mom die, and then having to be dragged away while watching the only person she probably trusts right now be beat up.
Yep.
P.S. I have an idiot list. I'll see just bumped Andrea from The Walking Dead from the top of my list.
Thank you, Danielle, for that long-ass Facebook comment. It was long, too. You know what? I agree, though. I agree because, you know, he never was any... Alcide was never one of my favorites or anything. But, I mean, you know, he was halfway decent. But they have just messed him up.
They have messed him up.
They just messed him up because... No. As we've already pointed out, he wouldn't do that stuff.
No.
He would not do that stuff. So, yeah. All right.
All right. Well, thank you, Danielle. Our next message, I think, the one from Emily was actually for Game of Thrones, so we're not going to talk about that one on the podcast. Sorry, Emily. So if you have another one about True Blood, let us know.
Let us know. Okay.
All right, so that's all the Facebook, I think, that we have.
Yep.
So let's get on to our regular feedback.
Okay.
Our first one is from Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Now he can see the future, and he will be the one to save the vampires. I'm convinced Alan Ball is still there writing for his fantasy lover, Bill Compton. Ooh, Sarah! Another boyfriend for Sookie. Just what this show needs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Wasn't it like yesterday she was dry humping all seat on that couch?
Yeah!
So is Ben supposed to be Warlow in Fae form? Whatever.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Speaking of Sookie, I was yelling, get your lazy wonk ass to work, bitch. She says, I had a rough night. Well, so did Arlene. She has to lay under Terry every night.
Oh!
No, Sarah.
Sarah. I like Terry.
I like Terry, too.
You notice how he was cooking in the kitchen, though? Because, see, Lala's taking care of Emma.
Yeah, Terry was always their other cook. Remember?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The problem with Arlene is that she had them four babies to help.
That's true.
Plus her own.
Plus two of her own, Mikey and the other little baby.
Who's the other baby?
Didn't they have another baby?
No. Oh. They have two kids. She has two other kids. Okay. Lisa and I can't think of the other one's name.
And the little boy. That's true.
And then Mikey, the baby.
Yeah, that's true.
And then now these four girls. But okay, she says, speaking of Sookie, Oh, wait. I already read that. She says, were Pam and Tara drinking milk? Why? It was blood.
In a milk carton. No. Mm-hmm.
Jessica, what a weepy, slobbering, blubbering mess. Throw some balls. Are you God? Please bless my friends. Eric, you can teach me about whooping cranes all night long, baby. And hover outside my window anytime. And I swear you're the only reason I still watch this mess. Later, Sarah Northman.
Thank you, Sarah, for that email. Yeah, Eric was looking good.
He
is one of my favorite characters,
too.
Yeah,
he was looking good on that episode.
Yeah, he was.
Okay, well, looks like our next... Thank you, Sarah, for that email.
Thank you.
Looks like our next piece of feedback is a voicemail, so let me play that now.
Okay.
Hi, Sister K. Hi, Sister J. It's Bunny. Thought I'd call in my email this week and tell you what I thought about this episode. First, the fashion news. I loved Lilith's dress. I wore one that was similar to that to the Pine Bush restaurant. Really was nice. And also, I really loved seeing Emma dressed up like Lafayette. That was way too cute. I loved it. So, Rude or whatever, he's Grandpa Niles. Who knew? I'm really glad they brought him in. He's going to be a good character. It seems like there's so many plot lines and plot things to follow. You're going to need a scoreboard, but I think this year is going to be a great season. It was nice to see Sookie meeting that cute fairy Ben. I got another prediction. Now I think Ben is Warlow. I know Warlow came through the portal, and he looked like Blackbeard with fangs, but maybe he could change into a fairy. You never know. I'm always wrong, but it sounds good to me. Also, I loved Eric. I love how he acted like a nerd. He played it so well. And he says, now we all know the whooping crane is a tough fucking bird. Who knew? I really thought they took him prisoner, and then when he just flew up, that was amazing. Love some Eric. Next, Lafayette. Boy, oh boy. Got to beat down Lafayette and Sam by the wolves. Never expected that. But I can't wait for Lafayette's revenge. I think we're going to see some good Lafayette coming. Lastly, I will say, Beals, Meal on Wheels was scary. I said what I always say, What the fuck? Well, that's it for this week, sisters. Just want to say hi to all the listeners and ask them to call in to hear other voices. This way we could place the person with the name. And sisters, also, thank you for the greatest podcast. I can't wait for the next podcast to hear your thoughts. And I have to say, it's wonderful. I want to thank Shalita for being our own personal reporter. She really goes above and beyond, and it's great just to hear from her. Also want to say hi, mate, to my friend Tim. Haven't heard from him on True Blood. And I'd like to give a special, wait, in my sexiest voice, hello, Brother Ray.
Oh, thank you, buddy, for that voicemail. You are hilarious.
That is too funny.
Oh, Lord.
And that, in her sexiest
voice. Hey, that
voice.
Was a sexy voice, too, girl. Okay, first of all, if you was wearing a dress like Lilith to a restaurant, I'm surprised you wasn't arrested for indecent exposure. Because that dress was see-through. So, you know, No, I don't think so.
What cracked me up, Bunny, is you calling Rutger Hauer Ruta.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
That's an interesting theory about Ben, but then how would he be able to read her mind if it was really Warlow?
I don't think he's Warlow.
I don't think so either,
think Warlow's
but that's an interesting
Warlow.
Theory.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. If he is, then he knows where all the damn fairies are now. She done told him.
Exactly. So, I don't think that's... I don't think so. But I hope your theory about Lafayette is
right.
Comes true, because,
he needs to get some revenge.
I want some payback.
Yes, payback's a mofo.
Mm-hmm. I want some payback for all of them. Mm-hmm. But
thank you so much, Bunny,
for that voicemail.
Okay, and Bunny, so next week... You got to send us your rendition of our line.
Yep.
Our tagline, it's time for humans to bite back. Ha!
Yeah, that'd be
and
good.
When y'all do it, introduce yourselves first. Hey, this is Bunny from New York. It's time for humans to bite back. Ha! Or whatever. That way y'all could represent.
Okay.
Right. Thank you, Bunny, so much for using our voicemail.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, our next email is from Shelly.
Hey, Shelly.
Dear Sister Day and Sister K, I just found your podcast during this last season of Game of Thrones and fell in love with your channel. You review all of my favorite shows and you always make me laugh. I'm really looking forward to joining you for True Blood and listening to all your podcasts in the future. Your new fan, Shelly.
Thank you, Shelly, for
Shelly.
That email. We are glad to have you aboard with
us. Yes, we are.
Thank you.
And now send us another email and tell us what you think about the season of True Blood so far.
Yeah.
Okay, our next email is from Paris.
Hey, Paris.
Hello, lovely sisters and Sister Speak family. Hope all is well with everyone. This is going to be involved, Sister J.
Uh-oh.
He didn't say long, he said involved.
Oh, Lord. Come on, Paris. Come on with it.
Let's dig in. I got to watch this episode at a local bar in Mobile, Alabama.
Uh-oh.
So it was nice to see the reactions of friends and strangers alike. The opening scene with Jason and Granddaddy Nile had me rolling. When he kindly informed Jason that he is his fucking fairy grandfather, we were dying laughing. I never pictured Rutger Hauer as the Sun Fairy King, but he is a perfect fit and makes for a badass fairy.
Yep.
I thought the scene of Niall teaching Sookie the supernova was really well done. Was anyone else getting flashes of X-Men?
No.
Oh, that's awesome. But no, I didn't.
No,
think about
I didn't,
that.
Though. Yeah, I didn't even think about it.
On the subject of Sookie, I have to admit I loved her this episode. Her immediate reaction to seeing Ben wounded on the side of the road and trying to ignore him got a huge laugh. Of course, it wouldn't be her if she didn't go out of her way to rescue a sexy man in distress.
Mm.
That's true. Ben is definitely a looker, I'll give him that. I feel like the writers are setting up an in-game love interest for our fairy princess. Knowing this network and show, they're probably related.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
Probably.
Eric stole the show this episode.
Yep.
Swooping in and saving Tara at the beginning and discovering the governor's sinister intentions won him major points.
Yep.
I felt like they were borrowing from a lot of other vampire genres this season, especially with the ultraviolet silver bullets. Still, I enjoyed it. Did y'all jump when Burrell revealed he could not be glamoured?
Yeah.
I sure did.
Yeah, I did too. I was like, what the hell?
When he said, guards!
I know it. Ooh.
Now, all Cede and Martha know they were wrong for pulling that shit on Sam and Lafayette.
Uh-huh.
You gonna pull up and beat up the two people that have been taking care of this girl.
Yeah.
After yo colossal fuck-up last season?
Yep.
I am too through with the mangy-ass wolf pack.
Mm-hmm.
I am too. On a lighter note, the fairy babies were too cute.
I know.
I take back what I said about them being creepy. Poor Annie doesn't have a clue. Hopefully the fae at the club will help him.
I know.
Yeah.
But we should have seen some more.
Well, you know.
You know.
Finally, I got to touch on Billith and Jessica. Anne Rice's Queen of the Damned was all over these scenes.
Ain't that the truth? That was a...
I never saw that.
That was a yucky movie.
Read the book. Superpowered vampire deity that is connected to the pain of all other vamps on the planet and can look into the future. Check. I felt so sorry for Jess, though. She has been the heart of this show since season 2, and it really showed here.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit the prayer scene had me tearing up.
Yep.
That montage they put in of all the characters was fantastic.
It was.
And it hit me then that this is the final season. Damn. The story and characters we've been following for 6 years is about to come to a close.
I think so, too.
It is. It's the last season.
Yeah.
After this episode, I'm excited again to see how the story ends. P.S. Something occurred to me when I rewatched Sookie and Ben's conversations. He called himself a halfling, and Sookie replied that she was one as well. It makes sense because that's how the full-blooded fairies referred to the human-fairy hybrid kin and children in the books.
Yep.
Now she sent him to the fairy sanctuary to commune with the others. That's also where Andy is taking his kids as well. I have a very foreboding feeling that what will happen to them now that Warlow has re-entered the plane, especially from the brief clips they've shown of what's to come. Paris.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, thank you, Paris, thank for that you, Paris. Email. Yeah, that's going to be interesting, though. That's going to be interesting. To see what they're going to do with the fairies.
Yeah.
Now that Ben character has been introduced in here and Granddaddy Fairy King and, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
That's going to be, I'm hoping that someone does come out and help Andy with the babies and figuring out what's going to happen. Because maybe they age quickly because they need to be helping out with defending, you know,
it
the
could
place.
Be.
So maybe the
Who
girls,
knows?
The babies
know.
Have some special things like Sookie, because they're halflings also.
Yeah. Maybe so.
I don't know. This is going to be interesting to see what happens.
That's
going to
be interesting. And hopefully they don't just drop the ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
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 All right. Thank you, Paris.
Thank you, Paris. Our next email is from Marlene.
Hey, Marlene.
Hello, Sister J and Sister K. I've made a couple of comments on your Facebook page, but this is my first email.
Woo!
First, just wanted to say how much I've enjoyed your Game of Thrones podcast. I'm such a nerd fan that I listen to about 4 other Game of Thrones podcasts, but yours is at the top of the list, tied with one other.
Cool.
In fact, I enjoy you ladies so much that I'm also going to start listening to your True Blood podcast. I'm sure it will be more entertaining than the series has been of late. Wink, wink.
Okay.
She mentions 2 quick comments, and we'll do this real quick for her. It's about Game of Thrones. About the issue of color in the crowd surrounding Daenerys at the end of episode 10, I can appreciate the sensitivity surrounding the visuals of that scene. It would have been great if the freed young Kai slaves were shown to be from many races. As a practical matter, though, they were filming these scenes in Morocco, and when you put out a call for extras in Morocco, you are going to mostly get Moroccans.
Yep.
If you're fans of Charles Dance, our badass Danny Lannister, I heartily recommend getting your hands on the BBC miniseries The Jewel in the Crown from way back in 1984, when I'm sure you both were just young things. Well, since Jay wasn't.
Hey!
No, she was. It's available through PBS, Netflix, and perhaps at your library. Not only is it the most outstanding miniseries ever done on television, it also features a young and red-headed Charles Dance as our hunky romantic hero. Quite a different character. Mm. Sorry if this is one long-ass email. It's not. I hope you ladies enjoy your summer. Maybe I'll pipe up again later about True Blood. Marlene.
Thank you, Marlene.
Thank you, Marlene.
For that wonderful email. And for me, just so you know, the greatest miniseries ever has been Roots.
Well.
Yeah. That's been the greatest one.
That's a long.
Ever.
Now, that might be one of the longest also.
Yeah.
It's long.
It was good, too.
Thank you, Marlene, for trying us out.
Yeah,
and checking us
thank
out and
you.
Following us to True Blood.
And as far as your comment on Game of Thrones, I don't see what everybody was tripping on because it didn't bother me at all. Because I, like you, I mean, I already felt like, well, damn. And, you know, they're in a country where the people are brown. Didn't bother me at all.
Well, I didn't notice it, but after everybody was talking about it, I noticed it, but it didn't, you know, what am I going to say now?
Yeah, it
didn't bother
me. I didn't
notice it the first time, so.
Alrighty.
Anyway.
Thank you.
Our next email is from our beloved Shalita.
Hey, Shalita.
Hey, sisters. Hope y'all are doing well. Yep. And hi, everyone. Thanks for the shout out, Brother Ray. I'm going to try and keep this short, at least shorter than last week's email, but in case I can't, sorry for another long-ass email, Sister J. Let's get started. Things I liked. One, Eric. Alexander Skarsgård is such an excellent actor, and he makes a very hot nerd.
Yep.
Seeing him pretend to be a human was hilarious. Loved that scene with him in the governor's house, and after he appeared at the governor's daughter's window, everybody on Get Glue was checking their windows just in case Eric was out there waiting to be invited in.
Yeah!
Laugh out loud. So I think it's safe to say this kidnapping will make the governor upset and probably even crazier to stop Vamps than before.
More
on that later. But I loved Eric taking care of his grandbaby.
Yeah.
Aw. He's the only one who thought to remove the bullet. And he's basically being an arsehole, to quote Nora, to everyone. I don't think Nora's going to be around the whole season either. Wouldn't be surprised if she gets killed. But that was a sweet scene with her and Pam. So, she was aware of Pam, just Pam didn't know about her. I have to say, Eric was being mean to everyone in his way of protecting them. First and foremost, he wants them safe, and it's a good thing he got his ass out of there. The Gov is taking all they shit.
Yep.
Two, Fairy Grandpa Niall. Love it. And I love that he schooled Jason on how dumb it was to tell your whole life story.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe having Grandpa around to teach him will help. Though it was hilarious when he tried to jump through the portal, too. It was. But I felt bad when he found out he's not a fairy prince. Poor baby.
I know.
Jason just can't catch a break. And now Sookie has the power of the sun. Interesting. We'll see where they go with this. Three, Andy and those adorable babies. So cute. But I got a bad feeling about the fairy joint, because why wouldn't they take baby fairies inside to keep them safe?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Four, I want Lala to babysit me so we can play dress up and have tea parties.
I know.
Him and Emma are adorable together, but we still need more Lala, which
yep.
is what you said.
Mm. Yep.
Five, Jessica's prayer was so sweet. Don't necessarily like her praying to Billeth, but it was sweet. Those were my favorite things. Now on to everything else. Neutral stuff. Happy to see Jurnee Smollett-Bell, but I don't know what to make of her yet. And how did none of those Wares or Sam not smell her and those kids in the bushes?
There you go.
Well, that's a good point.
Yep.
But her idea for them to come out ain't going to help nobody, not in that current climate. I didn't hate this episode, but I didn't think it was as good as the premiere. Things I didn't like. One, well, it's safe to say they got me disliking Alcide.
Yep.
And really hating on that Danielle chick.
Yep.
Don't you touch my Lala.
Ain't that the truth?
I don't hate Martha like y'all, and she has a legal claim to Emma. That just wasn't the way to go about it. I want Sam to have custody with the Wares getting visitation or something. I hate Martha's ass.
She don't bother me that bad, but.
Oof. After last season, no. Number two, they better not make Billeth the savior of everybody or whatever. Because no more good guy Bill. Totally boring.
Yeah.
Then again, his new method of getting blood is cray cray.
I know, that was awful.
That was a total what the fuck moment.
Yep.
Maybe he'll be a mix of both. But what did Lilith think was going to happen when you treat people as food only? And I will be very happy to never see our favorite vamps burning ever again. Just no. I know, that was disturbing.
Yeah.
Three, Suki's new fairy dude. Like, that wasn't suspicious. Warlow busts through, and the very next day, this dude just happens to be hurt on the side of the road by her house.
Oh, well.
For a couple of seconds, I was loving Suki when she was going to walk on. But then she stopped, went back, and took the guy to her house.
Yep.
And here we go again.
Yep.
Jeez, can't this chick stay single a little longer? Why must every guy fall for her? I like her better when she was single. See, that's the second person now who's mentioned that Warlow could be Ben.
But see, I don't see it because Warlow...
Unless he's...
Is a vamp, and vamps can't read the fairy mind.
But what if he's somehow fairy, too? Vampire and fairy?
Well, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Because Granddaddy Niall would have known
that. Exactly. Now, he might be an advanced man for him. You know what I mean?
A what?
An advanced man. Like, he comes and gets information first. But I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think so at all.
Okay, four. What the F is Patrick's wife doing there? Can't we all just forget about that storyline and pretend it never happened?
Ain't it the truth?
I know, that's right. Five. Episode writer Angela Robinson blaming all the vampire problems on Eric like he alone is at fault. I did see that on the extras. Every single one of those authority jokers are responsible, not just Eric.
Mm-hmm.
He killed the general, so that was an issue. But Bill suggested bombing the True Blood factories.
Yep.
If they hadn't done that, then the general wouldn't have had to show up looking for Roman.
Yep.
If anything, it's all Salome and Lilith's fault. She brought this about. Roman was the smart one. He tried to tell them, but nobody would listen. And speaking of Lilith, did her damn dress have to be sheer?
Yeah.
You could still see bush.
Yeah.
To quote you lovely ladies, damn.
Yeah, damn. That's what I'm saying.
Anywho, my final thoughts on this is that the vampire's arrogance is going to be their undoing. I love Eric, but with the weapons they developed, how could they not have a way to block glamouring? And now they know some vamps can fly, so they'll be prepared for that next time.
Yeah.
But I know he's going to pump the daughter for info on what's going on in that joint. More research is definitely necessary. Hopefully it won't backfire on him. Mm-hmm. Sorry for the long rambling email, sisters. Until next time, Shalita. Oh, she says, P.S. Possible spoiler for Sunday's episode below.
Don't read it then.
I'm not going to read it.
Okay. Thank you, Shalita.
Thank you, Shalita.
For that email. I don't think, well, like we've already discussed, I don't think Warlow and Ben are the same people. I just don't.
And
I already know what actor's playing Warlow, so.
Oh, see, you are damn spoiler shit.
I didn't spoil nothing. I just said that. Anyway, thank you, Shalita.
Goodness. Thank you, Shalita. Okay, our next email. Oh, it's actually an email from Bunny.
Hey, Bunny.
Along with her voicemail, I guess.
Okay.
Thank you, Sister J, for mentioning the Red Rue wine or Sweet Red Rue wine by Yellowtail. I do not necessarily drink wine as I was tired of Zinfandels and a sweet white wine made in Germany, but I bought a bottle of this. Well, the smallest bottle they had was 2 liters. Pretty big bottle of wine. It is wonderful.
Yep.
So glad it is a large bottle. Bring on the straw and let's play. She says, bring on the straw and let's play first of all. I, for one, am ready, ready, ready. Thank you again for suggesting this. It is good for me. So good. Looking forward to this week's podcast. As always, buddy.
Oh, buddy, that's a hoot. Woo! Yeah. Now,
Bunny was already sounding tipsy when she wrote this. She's like, "Ooh, this is good. So good."
I'm glad you're liking that, Bunny. And yeah, I do like the yellowtail sweet red roux. It's really good. But also, Bunny, try the wine, the German wine that I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, because it's really good. It's even better than the sweet red roux. It's really good. That red vin. I really like it.
Okay, are we done with wine?
All right. Yes, we are. We are done with wine talk. And I'll have a different wine for you next episode, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I'm gonna have a new wine each episode. So all our wine connoisseurs, we can all discover new wines.
Oh, my gosh. This is not wine enthusiast podcast.
We're going to have true blood and wine.
Okay.
Thanks, buddy.
Email is from Tina.
Hey, Tina.
Hey, sisters. This will be very brief as I am on the tail end of completing my dissertation.
Ooh.
I just wanted to thank you guys for producing such an awesome and informative podcast. I have been listening to Sister Speak for the entire 6 years that I've been in graduate school.
Wow.
By the way, one of your other callers mentioned that they are in graduate school. My advice to them, keep listening to the sisters. They will get you through the stormy weather.
Oh, thank you.
I'm delighted you're doing a Game of Thrones podcast. I hope to catch you guys next time. But until then, I'm listening to reruns and still laughing out loud in the library. Regarding True Blood, I am getting really irritated with Sookie being the damsel in distress.
Thank you.
Suck it up. I'm glad that Lala is back. Fierce. Regarding Alcide and his sexual promiscuity, according to the books, wolves become hungry with power once they become pack leaders.
Hmm.
In the books, Sookie talks about seeing Alcide after he became leader and how he had this arrogance about him. True Blood is pretty much boring me. It's just not the same. But your podcasts make the show at least bearable. By the way, do you guys watch Homeland? Yes, we do.
Yes.
Although I didn't watch the last season.
Well, she probably won't like my answer, but we'll get to that. Go ahead and read it.
P.S. In last week's podcast, someone mentioned that you should never touch a black woman's hair. 2 weeks ago, some black women held a public exhibition in New York City where people could touch their hair. You know who was touching their hair, right? Shaking my head.
Woo! Okay.
I Heart Lafayette, Tina.
Thank you, Tina, for that email. Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, yeah, we know who was touching the hair because, see, it's the same people that when I have my hair in locks, they all wanted to touch. I had a man follow me around in the store one day because they wanted to touch my hair. Lord have mercy. But as far as Homeland, the first season was so excellent. Last season was season two. In my opinion, it sucked. And I'm probably going to be out for a season three. They just veered way off. That's like, yeah, it was not good. Not in my opinion.
And I can't comment because I only watched one episode of season two, but I have it all.
It was saved. Totally off the mark, in my opinion. It was totally off the mark. So, anyway.
Oh, that's too much.
But for those that are like-minded like me, I can't wait for the premiere of Dexter.
Yeah.
It's coming out.
It's the last season.
It's season eight, and it's the very last season.
A lot of last seasons this year. Thank you, Tina.
Thank you, Tina.
And good luck on your dissertation.
Yes, congratulations and good luck.
Okay, our next email is from Jackie.
Hey, Jackie.
Hey, lovely sisters. I'm sorry to have missed the season premiere with you all, but thanks to Brother Ray for the awesome roll call shout out. I'm so looking forward to hearing Sister K and Sister J talk about Merkins. Because, you know, it's the sisters discussing freaking pubic wigs. My life is complete now.
I know.
I did not know what it was.
I didn't know that back history, like, you know, yeah.
Thank you, Jackie, for that back history.
Back in the history, they used to shave all their pubic hair so they could get rid of lice and shit. But then they had little wigs. That's a nasty.
I just
can't. Oh, and how they keep the wigs on?
They must have had some tape or something.
Oh, yeah, that would hurt.
I mean, I guess.
That would hurt.
How do they keep these on? On True Blood, because that's what they're saying is these people are wearing these Merkins, because I can't imagine that's their real hair.
Ooh, yuck. That just nasty.
And Nina had me cracking up on Facebook talking about, oh, somebody please tell them what a Merkins is. Let me go get my popcorn so I can watch.
I know. Nina was funny. Oh, Lord. Well, now we know what Merkins are, Jackie. Thank you very much.
We need to get into that business. But see, I don't think that.
Oh, hell no.
I don't think that's really much of a business except in Hollywood.
Oh,
maybe,
hell
nowadays.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Anyway, she says, first of all, take a drink, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with the consensus that Sookie is beyond stupid.
Yep.
Has this broad ever never heard of online dating? Stop picking up random dudes on the side of the road, dumbass. Ben may be gorgeous, but I call bullshit on his "I haven't had an ounce of human kindness" line.
Yeah.
Really? With a face like that, he must be inundated with tricks throwing themselves at him left and right. I'm getting real tired of Sookie whining about wanting to be normal.
Yeah.
Non-soups like Arlene and Terry are constantly dealing with effed up shit, so her nonsense about wanting to be the old Sookie is a moot point.
Yeah.
Just shut the fuck up, Sookie. I love the show for giving us Lala babysitting Emma, but his storyline had better improve beyond getting a beatdown from that power
drunk. Ain't that the truth?
Asshole all seed.
Ain't that the truth?
That nasty wear bitch needs to get cut.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you nibbled on all seed's milk bone doesn't mean you get to be head bitch in charge, you dirty hoe. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, Jackie. Tell it.
That's putting it good.
That side piece needs to shut the F up.
Yeah, she needed not even be there.
I love Niall for reading Jason the riot act for his dumbassery.
Mm-hmm.
But I could barely concentrate on the Stackhouse reunion because he and Jason were getting effing spaghetti sauce all over Graham's tablecloth. I was thinking the same thing, Jackie. They were slapping that shit.
They were messy.
Sookie needed to finger blast those bitches straight to the damn laundry room to bleach the shit out of it. See, that's why you don't put... First of all, that was Sookie's fault. You don't put a white tablecloth on a table when you're about to have spaghetti.
Yeah.
That's when you go get out the old plastic tablecloth, put over your nice cloth tablecloth. Eric Northman going undercover as Eric Nerdman was the highlight of the episode for me. Talk about uncharted fantasy.
Yeah, that was good.
His signature levitating sex god move with the governor's daughter was the second highlight. If I saw that Viking floating outside my window, I would have gouged out my eyeballs trying to dig out my anti-glamoring contacts. About those contacts, why the hell would you create anti-glamoring contacts that you have to take out at night when you know fucking vampires come out at night?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Nice plot hole, writers, shaking my head. All right, that's enough for me. Thanks for another awesome episode, ladies, and I can't wait to hear everyone's feedback. Love, Jackie.
Thank you, Jackie, for that email. And, you know, that's a good point about the contact lenses, but I would have to say in answer to that, she's a kid. I mean,
well, I think it's more that they wear them during the day because as long as they're in the house at night,
mm-hmm.
They're assuming they can't.
Well, because they have to be invited in.
They have to be invited in. Now, he probably doesn't know she's got her fucking window open.
Exactly.
And her blinds and shit open and everything else. So, it could be a plot hole, I guess, but
I thought it was plausible
because, you know, she's about to go to bed.
Yep.
She's in the house, and she probably needed to close everything down.
Yeah.
And then she would have been all right.
Right. But, and plus, she was, I took it like she just wasn't paying attention and being diligent because she was probably still mad at Daddy for not letting her go out with her friends.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, Jackie. Hilarious as always.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Okay, and our last email is from Myron.
Hey, Myron.
His subject line is, "That thirsty-ass Sookie is about to get a new love. I mean, a fuck buddy for the season." Hello, sisters. This episode was corny as hell, but that doesn't mean my email will be short, Sister J.
Uh-oh.
Let's get started. Okay. Question one. Why in the hell is the show bringing Patrick's wife into season 6?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That's what we said.
Is that damn Ifrit demon coming back?
Let's hope not.
Fuck that. Question two. Did y'all think that dude in the bushes was Warlow? He said bushes.
Dude in the bushes.
He says, I sure did. But then I am thinking that Sookie hasn't had any action in a while. So dude will probably be Sookie's fuck buddy for the season.
Probably.
Question three. Is Lafayette being turned into a caricature?
Yes.
Caricature?
Yes.
I mean, I know that he is gay, but dress up? Seriously? He is a fan favorite and gets two lines?
Yeah.
Come on, Shorty Pop. Why aren't the writers delving into his abilities?
That's what we want to know.
That's a good point, yeah.
But the scenes with Lafayette playing dress up with the girl, I think, are well done.
Because that's what he would do with the little girl. A girl. She's a little girl. To play dress up, and he likes to put on makeup and stuff, too.
So I don't have a problem with that. But I do have a problem, like you say, with them not developing Lafayette and his medium ability.
Yeah. Question four. Maybe I am taking the storyline the wrong way, but I am not liking Nicole preaching to Sam about why Sam and other Supes should come out of the closet.
Thank you.
And engage other Supes and humans in an interspecies dialogue using the Freedom Riders of the 60s as a backdrop.
That's what I said.
In order to give Nicole's character some legitimacy.
Yeah.
What do you think, sisters?
Oh, you know what I think. I think it's fucking bullshit. Yeah. I need to write them some damn email.
I think so.
Oh, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I will. Because I thought it was stupid. I said, oh, because the first time I saw it, I said to my TV, oh, no, the hell they didn't. Because I was offended. I thought, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Oh, and she's a black girl, too? Oh, yeah.
And she just came out of nowhere.
Coming out of nowhere saying that bullshit shit about the Freedom Riders in the 60s. First of all, whoever wrote that motherfucking shit probably wasn't even alive in the 60s. That's why they wrote that shit that way. Shit. Anyway. Okay.
Question five. Oh, my goodness.
Well, that...
Question five. Does he want to wipe out the vampires in order to further his political career? Is the governor a member of that bigoted-ass hate group called the Fellowship of the Sun?
Could be.
Question six. Claudine was one of the most powerful fairies we have seen in the show. She was able to send Warlow into some interdimensional holding cell, which he has since escaped out of, but she was killed by Eric? Hard to believe. Right now we know that fairies have the ability to travel through space. Does that make Warlow bi-species, both vampire and fairy? See, now that's the only way.
I don't know about that.
Okay, if we all go to the theory that Ben is Warlow, the only way that would work is if Warlow is also part fairy.
Okay, let's back up first. The reason why I don't have a problem with Claudine, even though she was powerful enough to send Warlow to this little dimension, that's because when Eric drained Claudine, it was like a surprise thing.
A surprise attack.
So she didn't have time to zap him or nothing. See? And, you know, I mean, he drained her. So I don't have a problem with that part. But I just don't believe Ben is Warlow.
Yeah,
I just don't.
You already know.
Well, no. I'm just saying I don't believe it.
Okay, he says next, a parody. Supervamp to Lilith. I don't know who I am. Lilith, yes, you do. Supervamp, no, I don't. Where am I? Lilith, you are in no place. Supervamp, listen, hookah. You need to start answering my questions. Lilith, and you must listen carefully. It is beginning. Supervamp, what is beginning? Who am I? You got to give me something here. I can fly now. I can see into the future. But I don't know what the fuck you are talking about. Lilith, events have been set in motion. Supervamp, in your most drawn-out voice ever, Sister K, say, shit. Another vague-ass response. Okay, riddle me this. Why is it that you and your three, the hard way, Charlie's Angels transporters don't shave your carpet coochies?
Oh!
Last but not least, fuck Martha, fuck Alcide, and fuck the three-way having wolf bitch.
Ain't that the truth?
If that pussy wolf pack were going to beat up on Lafayette, then motherfuckers are going to have to be put on the endangered species list.
That's right.
Exactly. God bless the sisters, bless the participants of a Sister Speak podcast, and please bless the writers of this show to get their asses in gear and ensure this is not another disappointing season of the fans of Dim True Bloods.
Amen.
Myron.
Myron, thank you so much, Myron, for that email. And you are certainly correct. I mean, let's hope that the writers aren't this sucky the whole time. Let's hope that they don't just drop Lafayette and Andy, their storylines.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I mean, just to bring on this new shit, which is bullshit. Anyway, mm-hmm. we'll have to see how it goes, but let's hope it ain't stupid.
I was entertained, but those two or three storylines were getting to me.
Yeah.
And I do agree that I like the Jolie, whatever. I can't say that girl's name. Journey Smith, Journey Bell.
Whatever.
Smollett, whatever. But why just plop her in there? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't like them plopping her in there saying that civil rights bullshit.
Yeah.
That don't have nothing to do with nothing. And nothing to do with the goddamn story.
Sister J.
Excuse me.
Okay, come on. We need to not say that.
Anyway.
Use Arlene's line.
The GD story.
Yeah, I'm with you, Myron, on that.
Yeah, I don't like
that. I just hope that we have 8 episodes left, and I hope that they haven't went all too far to the side trying to fit in all this shit.
Yeah.
And we don't get to our key people that we want to see, which is already happening.
Yeah.
Already happening. Already. So. We'll see, but it has been entertaining, and I'm interested to see who... we need to see Warlow now. We've done pussyfooted around Warlow for too long.
I'm sure he's coming up.
I think so. All right, well, that was the last piece of feedback.
Okay.
So please send us your feedback next week and your taglines. We would love to hear them and play them on the podcast.
Yep.
You can send us a voicemail at 972-755-1215. You can send us an audio file that you created and put into an email at sisterspeak.com. Sorry, it's sisterspeak@gmail.com. Our website is sisterspeakpodcast.com. We're both on Twitter at _SisterJ and _SisterK and at sisterspeakcast. Again, we would love to hear from you, hear what you think about the podcast, about True Blood, the show, and where it's going. That's it for now. I'm Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you next time.